Ladies and gentlemen, there now follows a party political broadcast on behalf of the Whale Party. Ah, yes. Well, I think the way of the future, Robbo, the way of the future.
Is what?
Politics.
Okay.
Everybody's talking politics. I thought perhaps I ought to start my own political party. Let's face it, you know, I couldn't do much worse than those people at the moment. I see Jeremy Corbyn the other day completely off his trolley. Slagging off the BBC. I mean, you know, I slag off the BBC myself from time to time. And I'm currently working there from time to time. But, you know, he said the BBC are totally against Jeremy Corbyn. They don't understand him. They don't like him. Get a life, Jeremy. Get a life. What you need is a bit of media training. That's what you need, Jeremy, because the camera doesn't love you and you say silly things. I'm sorry to be so blunt, Mr. Corbyn. I have interviewed him a number of times. He's a very charming man, actually. He's very nice, very, very pleasant. But he doesn't do himself any favours, does he?
He needs a big hug.
He needs a bit. Well, actually, he does probably need a big hug. And to suddenly, the one thing, having worked for the BBC over the years from time to time, I know, is that the BBC bend over backwards trying to be impartial. And, of course, that means that quite often they end up annoying one side or the other. And I can categorically say that I have never, ever been told what to say or what line to say. I have been in trouble for refusing to say certain things, but not because they were politically biased, but because I just didn't want to talk about particular things, like, I don't know, the best jam maker in the village or something. Well, I can honestly say I have never known there to be a particular line taken. If there was, I completely missed it, but I don't think so. So I think when politicians all get upset and start banging on about the BBC, probably the BBC have got it just about right if everybody in politics thinks that the BBC is against them. I actually would like to see more individual programmes being quite honestly biased against certain things, and then at least the public can respond against them. You know, when somebody's trying to be all things to all people, you just end up with nothing, don't you, really?
Yeah.
You know, when you watch Jeremy Clarkson, you know, it's reasonably right-wing. Well, I don't know that it's reasonably right-wing. It's just reasonably sensible. Like most... Excuse me, I'm just going to open my curtain a bit so I can see outside. You know, in this little studio I have at home, I have got a little window that looks out onto the world.
We like to give you a bit of light.
Yeah, and I like to look out. And although it's grey and miserable and raining at the moment, what's the weather like in Wales?
Glorious sunshine.
Pfft, you lie.
It's lovely.
How can it be glorious sunshine when here in the wonderful south of the country it's grey and miserable and raining?
We get loads of sun up here.
No, you in Wales?
Well, in North Wales.
In North Wales it rains all the time.
It rains a lot, but it's very hot and sunny when it's hot and sunny.
Is it?
Mm.
Maybe I will move up there.
Okay, I'll let the residents know.
Yeah, I mean, do a little poll. I did a poll the other day on Twitter about whether I should put the heating on or... You know, they have this new app, you can do a vote.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I saw yours.
We had hundreds of responses. I think I might run that as a regular feature on my Twitter site.
I said no, by the way.
Yeah, thanks for that. I had to put another jumper. Maybe we should run one on this programme from time to time, on the show's Twitter feed.
Yeah, I'll look into that. You can have to show me how to do it.
Don't be smug. Don't be flipping smug. Let's work out a vote now. okay, let's run a vote. Do you know the numbers or how to do it?
I'm going to wait for you to show me afterwards how to do it.
Well, okay, I was going to do it on the Euros. Will England win at the Euros?
Okay, England win at the Euros. Okay.
I'm saying they will. Do you? No. If you've got a poll, it has to be for or against, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Will England win at the polls, yes or no?
You can.
At the Euros. Oh, for goodness sake. I wasn't going to talk about this. I'm not prepared. I have no notes. I'm not ready. I'm not prepared for this. Work something out.
You can have an undecided vote.
Can you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, no, it has to be clear and concise for people to want. That's the problem with the Euro referendum at the moment. I mean, people are talking such balderdash on both sides that nobody is getting a real understanding. You know, on those people who want to leave, they're saying it's all about immigration. It's all about keeping our borders safe. Now, if somebody can tell me how leaving the European Union is going to keep our borders safe, I'd be delighted to know. And then on the people who want to stay in, they're all saying, well, you know, we've got to change it if the European Union is good for all of us. And if we stay in, we're going to change it. Well, why haven't we already changed it? And as a major country, one of the main countries in the world, why haven't we been able to insist that the European Parliament actually sign off their expenses, which they or their audit their returns or whatever they, you know what I'm talking about? They haven't done it for years. They've never ever got their expenses or anything else signed off. Why haven't they done that? Why don't we make them do it? So, you know, both sides keep going on about things. I want to know facts. I want to know from those who think we should leave, what's going to happen for argument's sake, what is going to happen to our industry? Huge amounts of industry over here from foreign-owned car plants. Now, we make the best cars, but the companies who make the cars are owned by foreign companies that quite frankly, have set their companies up here because we are part of the European Union. So if we suddenly leave the European Union, Jaguar, Land Rover, Nissan, and all those other car manufacturers, BMW, that make cars in this country, where are they going to go? Are they going to stay here and be outside the European Union, or are they going to move there? And they could move them quite easily because they have car plants in other European nations. Are they just going to move them there? Because they mightn't they? And nobody's answered me that question. You know, they go on about, well, your house prices might fall if we leave. Well, they might. They might go up as well. And then they continue on the outside. They continue saying, oh, well, you know, we're bigger and better and we can fight the rest of the world. And, you know, it'll be like going back 50 years. But they haven't answered, neither side have answered the real questions. And I think we're in danger of people turning off to what is a very important vote. We ought to have, like the Scottish referendum, we should be looking at an 80% turnout, I think. And I've changed my mind since last week.
Have you?
Mm. You know, I said I changed my mind last week.
Yeah.
Because I'd read some stuff by some people. Mm-hmm. And I've read some more. And I've changed my mind again.
Well, I've found out some good news.
Go on.
Apparently, if we stay in,
yeah,
our beaches will stay clean.
So if we stay in, we'll continue to get clean beaches. And if we leave, the beaches will get dirty.
That's correct. Yes.
Well, I didn't know that.
Well, there we go. That's a deciding factor right there.
Yeah. I'm just going to cough. Oh, dear. I've had this cough for a couple of weeks now. I've now got antibiotics to kill it off. And now I'm sniffing, so I think it's developing into a cold.
Well, you should move to Wales. It's lovely and warm here.
Well, I was thinking that because, you know, you don't get ill when you're in Wales, do you?
No.
No, no. Well, it's been a rough old week, hasn't it? What a rough old week it's been.
Has it?
Yeah, it's been a rough old week. Weather's been rubbish. And I was talking the other day to a young girl. She was on a Channel 4 program about pushy parents, but basically the story came out in the papers the other day that her parents spend £1,000 a month on her clothes.
Wow.
She's 11 years old. It didn't quite work out that way. When I actually got to the bottom of it and chatted to her and her mum, they don't really spend that much on her clothes, but they do buy her designer clothes. And she likes design. We had a chat, her and I, about designer labels. Because, you know, I like my designer labels, as you know.
Yes, you are a fashion icon after all.
Yeah, well, I shop in TK Maxx, and if it's good enough for me, it's good enough for everybody.
I can't afford TK Maxx.
What do you mean you can't afford TK Maxx? They are labels for less. You get all the big designer brands for a smidgen of what they would cost normally.
I'm more George of Asda.
George of Asda. Well, I've got some George of Asda stuff. Quite like that. I've got a few polo shirts.
Okay.
If you zhush them up with a little bit of this, a little bit of that, they look quite nice.
If you what? Zhush them up?
Zhush them up, yeah. You've got to zhush stuff up, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll go and do some zhushing.
Yeah. But I thought, well, people getting very upset. Well, if you can afford to spend that much on your kids, spend it on your kids.
It's doing the economy great.
Well, of course. Of course. As long as you make sure they don't get spoiled and that they know not everybody is as lucky as they are, which this little girl did know. So from the headline of pushy parents, we find that, you know, well-adjusted young girl who understands she's very lucky. She doesn't get that much money spent on her all the time, but if she needs a pair of shoes, she likes to get a pair of designer shoes because they last a lot longer. And I said, what happens when, you know, the clothes you grow out of them, whatever? She said, well, either my little sister gets them or they go to the charity shop. You know, that's good, isn't it?
It is very good, yes.
That sort of redistribution of wealth, you know. If it had been somebody on benefits who couldn't really afford it, who was getting into debt and spending all this money that they didn't have and expecting you and me and the taxpayer to fit the bill, then I would have been very angry and very cross.
Right, so this time you were nice and polite.
Yeah, of course, of course. Well, actually, I'm always nice and polite. I don't know where people get the idea that I'm a bit nasty. I'm always right. And I'm always polite when I am right, except when somebody wants to kick off.
Okay.
You know, if somebody wants to kick off, then I'll have to put them in their place, won't I?
You will indeed, yes.
Yeah, flipping well will. And there's so many people on the... Oh, dear. We're gonna talk a bit about Top Gear later, aren't we? Because we've got the original Stig on, back on the programme.
Well, he's driving around a racetrack at the moment, so we'll have to try.
Is he?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll try and get him on a little later on. But I tell you, I got in, not into a spat, I did say what I thought on Twitter and got quite a lot of response, you probably saw.
I did, yes.
But Chris Evans has got himself all upset that everybody has been so rude about him. But, you know, if the programme had been any good, they wouldn't. And he goes, oh, well, we got a big audience. Yeah, well, because people like me actually watched a bit of it. Not all of it, just to see what it was like. And it was as I thought. It was like Chris Evans has got some sort of disease that makes him jump up and down and shout all the time.
The first week figures are not really that important, are they, really?
No, no. And it was just like, he was trying to be Jeremy. Yeah. In fact, Chris Evans doesn't have any charm, does he?
I used to like him when he was on The Big Breakfast.
I thought he was brilliant on The Big Breakfast, and that was his finest hour.
Mm.
But I haven't really... it sounds a bit, you know... I haven't really warmed to anything he's done since then.
No. No.
He's quite good. Isn't he good talking about football, or is it not football, or something else?
I don't know. I don't listen to him.
No, I don't. And I'm on the radio when he's on the radio. You know, but all he does is shout loudly and jump up and down and say, I don't know. Well, never mind. So we'll talk to Perry a little bit later on. There were a couple of other things we were going to do, weren't there, on the programme? I'll tell you what, why don't we take a short break and come right back after these words?
Okie dokie. You are listening to James and Rob on the James Webb
Radio Show. Welcome back, James Whale of the James Whale Radio Show, broadcasting here on this radio station or this mobile device. We're all over the place, aren't we?
We are, yes.
If you haven't watched the or looked at the website, you should take a look at the website. We found another one of my old television programs featuring the lovely Barbara Windsor. And it's worth having a look at, isn't it? I'd forgotten all about that particular episode. It's up on our website at jameswhaleradio.co.uk.
It is indeed, or on YouTube. I've never seen this episode. I don't know where I was.
No. Well, And I vaguely remember doing it, but it's a long time ago. And of course, more and more people are saying, are we bringing the program back? And all I can really say at the moment is watch this space. Who knows?
There's a nice bit in it with you interviewing Bernard Manning in the bathtub.
Was I in the bath with Bernard Manning?
No, you were sat by the side of the bath. Bernard was in the bath.
Oh, Bernard was in... Do you know, I don't even remember that. Bernard was in the bath and I interviewed him. I can't remember that at all.
Yeah, he just turned up at his house out of the blue.
Really? Really? And he was in the bath?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds appalling.
He was in his underpants.
I'll have to watch. In his under... Only Bernard used to sit around in his house in his underpants all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a great bloke, Bernard, I must admit. I really liked him. He wasn't what people thought. He was not a nasty, horrible person as he used to be portrayed. He unfortunately got the wrath of the politically correct. And rather than bow to the change, which, you know, in fashion and in society, you have to go along with the change, he decided he would just stick two fingers up to it. Which didn't endear him an awful lot. I think in this programme as well, we've got Barbara Windsor on the show and Linda Nolan and a few other people too, haven't we?
The first appearance of Charlie Chuck.
Was he really?
Mm.
Okay. Who I discovered Charlie Chuck on something called Sky Star Search.
Yeah, that's on our website.
That's on the website too, is it?
Mm.
And there's another programme that you can Google, which I'd forgotten all about, which is relatively new. I did a series called The Blue Whale for Men and Motors. Do you remember?
I've seen one of them and I had to turn it off.
Why?
It was a bit blue.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is a bit blue. There's a clip on YouTube, and if you Google James Whale, Men and Motors, actually, you could lift it off there, couldn't you? Put it on our website.
Is that the one where somebody's reading someone's bum?
Yes, yes. It's quite interesting. It's a serious interview.
I couldn't read anything into it.
You couldn't watch it, could you? Because no, it was too blue.
It was too blue.
Yeah, very blue. Very blue indeed. Mm. Did you see the other night on television a new drama? And this, of course, is something you cannot knock the BBC for. They make some brilliant programmes. And this is called Versailles. It's all about the French royal family.
No, I've not seen that one.
Oh, it is quite rude. It's quite risque. If you thought my programme was blue, don't watch this.
Is it as bad as Game of Thrones?
It's on a par with Game of Thrones.
Quite blue, then.
Yeah, did you see the story about they having to get adult movie actresses to do scenes in Game of Thrones because some of the actresses won't do what they require?
I'm not surprised, to be honest.
Really?
Hmm.
I haven't seen those bits. So I shall look forward to it. Shall we do Tech Talk?
Oh, God, what, this early? Yeah, go on.
This year, well, I thought because we're hoping to talk to Perry, the original Stig, and I thought whilst I'm waiting for him to park the car up and get to the studio, I thought it would be quite nice for you just to do Tech Talk.
Tech Talk. Periscope. Do you remember Periscope?
Periscope, that's that little app I used to do.
Yeah, not many people use it anymore.
Oh, it's boring. Everybody does the same thing.
Well, apparently there's lots of trolls appearing on Periscope now.
What, pretending to be other people?
Not pretend, just abusing other people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Has anybody dared to abuse me?
Well, you've stopped using it now. Well, maybe start using it. But they've come up with a unique idea of sorting that, and that is they're going to use the other viewers on Periscope, the commenters, as a jury to ban people.
To ban people.
Yeah, so it's like a live jury. So what'll happen is if someone makes an offensive comment, someone will flag it, and then it'll pop up on, say, 20 other people's mobiles. Do you think this is offensive? And you say yes or no. And if enough say yes, that person then gets removed.
I think that's a slippery, rocky road down to a dictatorship myself.
Depends how many people are in the jury.
Well, it also, Periscope I gave up because it's just lots of people just doing stupid things, really. Just goes to show how boring it can be unless you actually have somebody using the camera and somebody directing what you do. Visual media is not just as easy as doing the radio and sticking a camera in front of you.
The problem with Periscope is you can only use the camera that's attached to the device. You can't add multiple cameras. You can't do anything other than using the lousy quality camera that you got on your phone.
Yeah.
So you have to be the cameraman and have to talk at the same time. So you're mostly getting footage of the floor.
Yeah. And it doesn't really work, does it?
No. So that's tech talk, really.
So Periscope's a pain in the butt and we're not using it anymore.
Yep.
How do I take the app off my phone? Because it's taking up space.
Hold your finger on it until it starts wobbling. Mm. And then press the X in the corner.
And then what?
Press the X in the corner.
Oh, okay. I'll remember that. I'll do that.
It's all about the wobble. You've got to wait for the wobble.
Yeah, it's all about the wobble. Yeah. Okay. Just in case you'd like to get in touch with us here at the James Whale Radio Show, all you have to do is send me an email. Easy. JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com. JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com. Don't forget, check out our shop, which is online. All sorts of goodies there. At jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Shall we? I think we should play a little bit of music at this juncture in the programme. And the reason is, I'll tell you the reason why, because we try and bring you some new music on the programme, music from people you may not have heard before. And if you would like to be on the show, I am continually looking for more reggae music. And do you think I can find it?
No.
Why not?
Maybe you're not looking hard enough.
Are there no new reggae bands?
I'm sure there are somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to find some. So if anybody knows any new reggae bands, please get in touch. JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com. And we'll include them on the programme. Now, this is Tom Ryder. He did just that. How can this be called desk job?
I have no idea.
Oh, remind me about taking blood.
Remind taking blood.
Yeah, after this. So Tom Ryder, desk job, of course, and see what you think. I think it's quite good. Listen to this.
I wanted to run, but everybody said stop. We gotta settle you down into a nice little desk job. Cause don't you know, son, nothing in this life comes free. Get you a pension and a healthy salary. I said I agree. This is reality. Forget your dreams. Forget your dreams. Understand, I'm just trying to do my desk job. Got emails to send, those envelopes won't seal themselves. Client facing the boss says I'm doing quite well. So what the hell? This is reality. Forget your dreams. I want to play my guitar and I want to be a heartthrob. How am I gonna do that when I'm sitting in my desk drawer? Girls come running when I produce my paycheck. Miss you turn back around. When I reveal that I'm a marketing tech, so what the heck? This is reality. Forget your dreams. Forget your dreams. This is reality. This is reality. Forget your dreams. Forget your dreams. This is reality.
there we are, Tom Ryder and Desk Job. Bit of easy listening, boogie-woogie stuff. It's harmless. Available on iTunes if you would like it. Go and have a listen to Tom Ryder, T-O-M-R-Y-D-E-R, on iTunes. Check him out. And if you want to be on the programme, get in touch. JamesWellRadio@gmail.com. Now, blood.
Yes, blood. I'm going to remind you.
On a show I was doing the other day, I had a call from a young lady. I think her name was Wendy. And we got talking, and she's a pathologist, what is the word? I can't remember. Anyway, she takes blood. There's a special word for it.
Vampire.
No. There's a special proper technical word. I can't remember what it is. What is it? Something like starts with a PH, like they all do. Yeah, something like that. They take blood. Anyway, I said I've had quite a lot of blood over the years taken, and usually before they take the blood, because they have to put that big thing in your vein, don't they?
Yes.
And they say, right, okay, you're just going to feel a little prick, and then it'll be fine. And I said that to her, and I said, do you have to still say, oh, you can't say that?
What, the prick bit?
Well, you can't say, right, little prick, you won't feel anything. They're not allowed to use the term little prick anymore.
No.
I talked about this on the BBC the other day, so it must be true. No, she said, no, James, you have to say you'll feel a little scratch. It might hurt a little.
Ah, scratch. I remember now.
Scratch, yeah. So, yeah, you'll feel a little scratch. It might hurt a little, but don't worry. Well, that's going to make... Oh, no. When you say a little prick, you won't feel anything. Surely that's better.
Well, maybe we should have one of those opinion polls on Twitter and ask people, is a little prick better than a scratch?
I think that's a good idea. No, I don't know why you're laughing. I think that's a very good idea.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I heard a funny joke. I heard a funny joke.
Go on in.
Our friend Tony Fisher, we haven't mentioned him for a while, have we?
No. Hello, Tony.
Tony Fisher. And he said, you've got a bit of a throat. I said, yeah. He said, I've got a joke about that. I said, okay. He said, I was at the cinema the other day, and I wanted to get some popcorn and a drink. So I bought the popcorn, and then I went up to the lady at the counter, and I said, do you have any soft drink? And she said, yes, I've got orange, I've got lemonade, I've got Coca-Cola. I said, oh, have you got laryngitis? No, I've got orange, I've got lemonade, and I've got Coca-Cola.
Oh, God.
I thought that was quite funny.
Yeah. I'm laughing.
Good. There we are. Cheered the day up, haven't I?
Well, that's it. Now you can look out your window and
cheered
smile.
Cheered the day up. Yeah, I think it's probably time for you to do the film talk, isn't it?
Oh, the film talk. Oh, yeah, I thought we forgot about the film. I went to see that weirdo.
What weirdo?
Oh, the guy with the dog in Australia.
Oh, Johnny Depp.
Oh, that's the one.
Yeah, all over the papers recently about him and his wife.
Mm.
What's her name? Amber Head or something? That's I'm surprised that's not been banned as well.
I went to see his film Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Yeah.
I went to see it in IMAX 3D. It was very stunning visually. It was okay. It's for kids, obviously, but it was all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, he's just a peculiar-looking person and a peculiar way of acting.
Yeah, he fits the roles he plays, put it that way.
Yeah. No, he does, to be fair, he does. Mm. But just don't let your dog loose with him. What should we do now? I suppose we could do the questions, couldn't we, for the whale? The big questions.
Okay.
No. I tell you what. I wanted to talk to you about your little holiday, because you keep tweeting pictures out of you down a mine. Why?
Well, because I went down a mine because it was really, really hot and sunny in North Wales.
So, do you have to go on about that?
Where better to go than down a mine? Where it was damp and dark and horrible.
Was it damp and dark and horrible?
It was.
Why, when it was sunny outside, did you go down a mine that was damp and dark and horrible?
It was one of the sort of educational things you do in the holidays to take your kids somewhere educational.
Really?
Yeah.
Take them to the beach.
I took them up a tree.
What for?
To go ape.
Oh, one of those places where you can swing from the trees.
Well, I was definitely swinging from the trees.
Were you?
Mm.
What was it like?
Quite terrifying.
Oh, I might have a go at that then. I like to be terrified.
Yeah, the first one I went on was quite easy. I was running around that. And then the man said, would you like to do the hard one? Yeah, set myself off laughing then. And then I sort of said yes.
Oh, you see, anything that has an alternative meaning like hard, prick, tit, head, you're now going to laugh at, are you?
I might do. Depends how it's said.
Hmm. Go on.
So I went round it, and then I had to go on this big death slide thing at the end.
You will have enjoyed that.
Yeah.
That'll make bits of your body that haven't quivered for ages quiver.
Yeah, I can't work out the zip slide thing, because you're going down it forwards, and right to the last minute, your body sort of turns round, and you end up scraping your bum all down the sort of chippings on the floor, and you end up with an itchy backside.
No, only if you do it wrong.
Well, I asked the man, he said, it's a trade secret how we get, because they go down it, you know, to brush the chippings after you've just made a complete mess of it. And they sort of go down it sort of sideways and do a sort of Scooby-Doo run. And you know, I couldn't do that. I went down three times, and every time, right at the last minute, I turned round and just went on
back.
Yeah, but
you've not got the upper body strength that you need to make sure that you don't swing right round.
Yeah, next time I go, I'm going to go down backwards and see if I turn around the right way.
Yeah, well, then you'll get it all on your front, and that might be even worse. You've got to land on your feet.
Yeah, but I can't land on my feet if I'm going backwards.
Well, go forwards.
Well, I tried.
Yeah, but don't let yourself turn round. You've got to hold on.
Trust me, I was holding on.
Yeah. Oh, I don't, you know, you had a safety harness on. If you had no safety harness and you were just holding on to it, that would concentrate your mind better.
Well, the safety harness was actually the thing that was holding me down the line. So if it didn't have a safety line, that was basically essentially just jumping off.
Well, weren't you holding it with a rope across the top of it and sliding down on that?
No, I had this little train thing that was like little wheels and a
wire. That sounds like a real namby-pamby way of doing it.
Well,
I mean, in my day, you took your belt off your trousers, put it round your wrist, slung it over the wire, and down you went.
Oh, dear.
Whilst the enemy was you. Oh, I shouldn't tell you about that.
Should we try Perry?
Yeah, I think that's a very good idea.
Because I think he's trying to phone us now.
Okay.
There we go.
Rob.
Hello.
Where are you, Perry, at the moment?
I'm at my company, Top Gear Tuning, which is down in Bridport in Dorset.
Oh, that's nice.
It is.
That's very
nice. It's a lovely day as well.
Nice pubs down there.
Nice hotels, nice pubs, nice people.
Yeah, I wish if you told me beforehand, I could have come down there and spent a few days.
Oh, you'd love it down here, James. They've got archery and everything.
Oh, we could have done some parting. So you're just testing a car, are you?
Well, we remap cars. So this is the headquarters, but we've got 270 dealers across the country where we can remap the brain of a car to give it more performance or more economy. So growing this business takes an awful lot of my time. But it's all good fun. Got some bright people down here, much brighter than me.
What, you mean if I brought my car to you, you could make it do more miles to the gallon?
Absolutely, easily. I mean, the four different wheel types are, you know, you've got petrol normally aspirated or petrol turbo, or you've got diesel normally aspirated or diesel turbo. And, we get remarkably good figures on the diesel turbos for economy and also for performance, all of them actually, except not so great with just petrol normally aspirated. But the rest of it, we make things go faster and with less fuel.
Oh, well, I'm definitely going to come and see you because I've got a diesel turbo.
Which one have you got?
Well, I've got the Freelander, you know, the like a small Range Rover.
Yeah, the Freelander, yeah, okay. Well, you must come down here with us and we'll get it sorted for you, mate.
Could do that, could you?
you'll look 7 years younger because your face gets pushed back on acceleration. It's incredible.
I could do with looking 7 years younger as well. Have you got a website where other people could check this out?
Yeah, www.topgear-tuning.com. That tells everybody about the process of ECU remapping and exactly how they can use it and enjoy a whole new lease of life in their car.
Topgear-tuning.com. We'll put a link on our website at jameswhaleradio.co.uk as well.
Thank you very much, James. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Now, as the original Stig, let's talk about... I have to admit, I watched Top Gear, the new one with Chris Evans, and I just thought, well, what is the point? It was just, you know, Matt LeBlanc was good. I liked him. I thought he was very funny and he was himself. But Chris Evans was just yelling, jumping up and down and trying to be a pale imitation of Jezza.
I feel, for me and my own personal taste, that the show didn't work as well as I was hoping it would do. I do feel that Chris was really shouting a bit too much, and I think the Top Gear needs a different dynamic from him. But I think that the whole show needs a bit more of a rebalance, because some of their features started off as maybe a good idea, but just kind of went on and on and on too long. And I think people just can get a little bit bored. But they've got all the resources there that they need to create a good show, so maybe it's just a settling in period for them.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think the way the BBC treated Jeremy was bad anyway, and I think the way the public feel towards it, they're going to have to work very hard. And Chris Evans doesn't have an enormous amount of charm naturally, so he's going to find it difficult. You know, just they should have changed the set. They should have changed everything, shouldn't they?
I think that they could have looked to do a few different things. I mean, they've added an additional bit to the Starring Original Price car, which I think is really cool, the Rallycross section, because that certainly adds to the skill requirements of their celebrities that they have on. So I think that's a good bit of fun. But, you know, some of the banter before that was a bit forced, and, you know, some of the gags really didn't work. So, you know, they might want to consider that.
They've kept the Stig in there. It isn't you any... Well, I don't know. Is it you?
I couldn't possibly tell you. It's going to have to remain a secret forever. No, it's a distant cousin of mine.
It's a distant cousin of yours, is it?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Clarkson's new programme, The Grand Tour. I think it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, because the best things were their specials where they went off on tours and did some remarkably strange things.
Yeah, well, the boys are calling the new show The Grand Tour, because it's going to be shot in a different country every time.
And they'll probably never be allowed back, actually, into that country afterwards.
Yeah, if they keep their record 100% perfect, that should work. I know they got into trouble in America, and obviously certainly Argentina, and then they got in trouble in the Far East. But that is, of course, one of the things that we loved about them. There was just lots of fun going on. The banter was real. But the other thing is that, you know, especially Jeremy and James, they are renowned journalists, and all three of those boys know so much about cars. So, you know, there was that credibility there, and there was that knowledge from the three of them. So I kind of want to hear a little bit more about what the cars are doing on the new Top Gear, rather than just these kind of chases or these kind of set scenes that they were going ahead with. It needs to, that's what I'm saying, really, it needs to be more of a balance.
Well, I think there needs to be another show. I think there needs to be The Grand Tour, which I think would be great in itself. But I think there needs to be a proper show, probably hosted by them, about new cars out this week, good value second-hand car, you know, a proper car show.
It appears that the car shows it's tricky ground for broadcasters, because my understanding is that Fifth Gear is actually going to be decommissioned, that it's coming off air.
Really?
Yeah, and we've seen it in the past as well. There was another show with Mike Brewer, Jason Plato, etc., and that was called Driven, and that only lasted a little while, and that was taken off air. It's, you know, there's not many car shows that survive of mainstream television for very long.
Well, is it because people don't want to watch them, or what? I wonder.
I think this appears for me to have been the extraordinary path of the old Top Gear with Jeremy and the boys, because not only did that show survive, but it's, you know, it ended up selling in 215 different territories around the world. So they had something to say. They had the great balance of humour, but also there was something that was quite serious, and it was pitched differently as well. So there is a unique style to the certainly the old Top Gear. We'll see if this new one can survive it.
I'll tell you what we should do, all right? We'll do our own show.
We've been saying that for a while.
You, me, and Carol Vorderman.
Yeah, I know Carol wasn't a real fan of the Sunday night's airing.
Well, Carol Vorderman, you know, flies a plane all over the place, and she loves all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there we are. We've got some glamour. We've got you know all about cars, and I can just fill in the bits when you and she have got nothing to talk about.
I'd always had something to talk about with Carol Vorderman, James.
Yeah, well, I would make sure that your mind didn't go in that particular route.
Yeah, no, I like Carol. She's a nice lady.
We'll have to think of a new name for the programme.
Whale of a Time.
Bottom Gear.
Yeah, Change Gear.
Ah, dear. Anyway, listen, thank you very much indeed. I know you're busy at the moment, and we'll go and check out, what was that, topgear-tuning.com, and find out how we can make our cars go faster, as long as, of course, they're always driven within the legal speed limit, and become more fuel efficient.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much indeed for your interest in that, James. I'll tell you more about it when I see you.
All right, Perry, listen, good to talk. I'll be interested to see what the viewing figures for the second Top Gear's like.
So will I.
All right, matey, take it easy.
Thanks ever so much, James. Take care.
Thank you, Perry.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks ever so much, mate.
Sitting in my room and I'm on my own. It's cold outside and I'm feeling alone. So I turn that dial and my radio's on. I hear James Whale and my troubles are gone. I hear James Whale on the radio. I hear James Whale and his podcast show. I hear James Whale on the radio.
So, thanks to Perry, who was the original Stig on Top Gear, but he got into a bit of trouble. So, the least said about that, the better. Lots of you got in touch on the programme this week about it. Andy Quick said, same script writers by the looks of it, but didn't come across half as good. It was. When he was doing his stuff in a car, all I could hear was Jeremy Clarkson, but not as good. You're right. Colin Watts said, didn't watch it, never going to watch it. All right, okay. Lee Mack, not sure if it's the Lee Mack. Might be, mightn't it?
Could be.
Absolutely awful, managed just 5 minutes before pulling my hair out. Garbage. Mark Hill says, Matt was trying to act instead of present. Yeah, but Mark, I think I would have found it much more watchable without Chris Evans, who just jumps around like, I don't know, somebody who jumps around, really. Stuart says, it was not that bad, but Chris and Matt both tried too hard to be like Clarkson, Hammond and May. Hopefully they will get better. Paul Fletcher says, remember in the 70s when Norman Vaughan started presenting The Golden Shot? Well, it was a bit like that. It was, yes. Norman Vaughan, there's a blast from the past. Kieran Fox says, first show and everything, but it just didn't sit right. I know, because that show was the three guys, wasn't it? Adam Talbot says, it's only taxpayers' money. At least we can see where it's being wasted, unlike most of the others we pay. Oh, well, that's a good point. Craig Newland said, missed their chance. With a new format, all the old references to the other three and certain catchphrases and descriptions. You're absolutely right, Craig. They should have changed the way it was done, take it out of the hangar, change everything except the name. It just looked like they were trying to do it, put the new presenters in, had loads of other people spuriously all over the place. It just, for me anyway, it didn't work. Colin Bates says, I thought I'd watch it and give it a try. I thought that it might be a decent car show again, and instead it immediately reminded me why I stopped watching the Clarkson Trivel. So Colin Bates, it doesn't like it at all. Anyway, Stavros says, utter tripe. Chris Diva Evans thinks the show is about him. You need a unique personality to make a motoring show. Good fun. Matt LeBlanc does have a slight sense of humour, though. And Clifford Clark says, didn't even bother to watch it without the original three. And John Cooper says, as expected, it finished as it started in bottom gear. If you had asked the BBC to remake Fawlty Towers, it wouldn't have worked. So why do this? A very, very good point indeed, I suppose, because the BBC got this idea they don't want to let go and they make some money out of it. But then there is the other argument. Should the BBC be making money? Because we have to pay the licence fee. They're not supposed to have to make money. That's a thought, isn't it? Mm. Anyway, thank you very much indeed. I think that's almost it, isn't it?
Yes, have we got time for some questions?
Have we got time for some questions? Well, why not? Do you know, I'm in the mood for it. I am in the mood for it. Should we do some questions? Can you read them this week?
I will give that a go.
Go on then. Let's see how you do it.
Okay.
Do you notice about those, everybody that got in touch, by the way, were blokes. No women want to talk about Top Gear.
I'm sure there was a couple, maybe.
No, I don't think there were.
No, I'm
maybe sure. you cut the women out when you were choosing.
Yeah, I didn't do it intentionally, if that's what's happened.
Did you not?
No.
Are you sure? By the way, don't forget, the summer is coming, and you'll need a good book to read while you're on holiday, or a book to download, to listen to, or to read on your tablet or your Kindle. And if you go to jameswhaleradio.co.uk, there's an exceptionally good book you can download called Almost a Celebrity There.
There is indeed, by a man called James Whale.
You can buy one.
Yes.
Fully signed and autographed.
Yes.
Yeah. We need to shift a few more, mate.
Yeah, I need the exercise. I need to go down the post office more.
Yeah, yeah. So check out the website. Get in touch. jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. We'll see what we can do. Right, questions.
Okay, Dave Billings. Why do burgers come in packs of four, yet the buns come in sixes?
Do you know, I didn't know that. Is that a fact?
Possibly.
Yeah. You get four burgers to one pack.
That's normal, yes.
Yeah. And you get six buns. But don't you get, I don't know. Do you get two buns or six buns? I don't know. Well, then buy more burgers. What a ridiculous question. Yeah. Buy more burgers.
Buy more burgers until you equal 12 burgers and 12 buns. Dunno. Yeah. See, there we go.
Yeah, there we are. It's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Bill Roberts. Oh, this is topical. If some zoos cannot keep their dangerous animals or child visitors safely from each other, why should they be allowed to stay open?
Do you know, that was an interesting point about that poor gorilla that got shot. Very bad. Very bad news. A marvellous animal. But they didn't have any choice. And, you know, I'm not a great fan of America, as you know now. And if you see that these stupid, very overweight people in America who are standing outside the zoo holding up placards and complaining about the fact that the gorilla was shot. You know, if you saw the pictures, that child could have been killed. It may well have been unintentional by the gorilla, but he was dragging the child around like a rag doll. It could have killed the child. Now, you know, I'm sure the parents feel bad enough about it as it is. I'm sure it wasn't done on. Obviously, it wasn't done on purpose. It was a mistake. But just to see how some flipping Americans behave, that is just appalling, isn't it? Didn't answer the question, but it gave you something to think about.
Dullan Gandad Wynne Jones.
Oh yeah.
I think this is to do with my holidays.
I think probably it is.
Does ice cream taste better if you've been down a cave first?
Well, you better answer that.
Yes, it does.
Good. Next.
Lane Thomas Hewitt.
Right.
Is the hokey-cokey really what it's all about?
Yep, you put your left foot in, your left foot out, your right foot in, your right foot out. You shake it all about.
Don't you do the hokey-cokey?
That's what it's all about.
After you turn around.
Yeah.
Andy Naylor. How many fingers do fish have?
None.
What about catfish? Do they have fingers?
None. No.
I thought they had feet.
No.
Well, that'd be toes then.
None.
Okay.
No. Fish fingers.
Right.
Are not fish fingers.
Okay.
Fish fingers are basically long, elongated goujons.
Right. Karen Clift. Should you only eat after 8 minutes after 8 p.m?
No. After 8 minutes are best eaten any time of the day or night.
It's always after 8 p.m, though.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it is. For you, it is. For other people, it's not.
Well, if you eat it at 9 p.m, it's after 8. If you eat it at midnight, it's after 8. If you eat it at 1 o'clock in the morning, it's after 8. If you eat it at 6 o'clock in the morning, it's after 8 from the night before. And if you eat it at 7 o'clock...
Well, you can't have after the night before because that's a different day. Come on, I've got to get to the pub. Come on.
Rob James, which way does water go down the plug hole on the equator?
Anti-clockwise.
Or down?
Yeah, but it goes down. Yeah, we know it goes down.
Gary Turner. Is there any intelligent life on Earth?
No. I'm beginning to realise that there really isn't.
Mark Walker. Who cuts Major Tim Peake's hair on the space station?
Do you know, I've been wondering that. Because it hasn't grown since he's been there.
Well, maybe he's got his own personal barber up there.
Yeah, could have. Or it could be a wig. I'm not sure.
And Grant Melton. I don't understand this at all. No sense here at all, James.
No sense where?
I don't know. That's what he's to put.
Yeah. No, absolutely right, Grant. Couldn't agree with you more. Thank you very much indeed for the questions. Try harder next week. And if you have hated this programme, then go to the website, jameswellradio.co.uk, because there's over 100 hours that you can hate just as well.
That is very true.
Yeah, and we're just piling it on. Before long, I think we'll launch our own YouTube radio station, which just has Whale going continuously round and round and round.
I thought you were referring to my body weight then.
No, no, no. Although you are putting on a few pounds, it has to be said.
It's all that ice cream.
Yeah, well, you want to stop? You want to stop? Right, let's go and reassemble same time next week.
Does that mean I have to disassemble?
Yeah, disassemble. Go and get my car.
Okay. I shall go and get the car.
Clean it first. Come on.
Oh, okay, I'm going.
Chop, chop. Come on.
I'm going. I've got to unplug myself.
I've gone. Bye.
Right.
Listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www. www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/jameswhaleradioshow or follow James on Twitter @thejameswhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.